This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. Today's chapter is a new one which deals with adhan. And adhan means the call for prayer. So we've studied the times of prayer. We know when the time of a prayer starts and when it ends. Now, how would we be able to answer the call for prayer unless something or someone give us this declaration of prayer, declares that it is time for us? This is done by the adhan. And we have a number of hadith, so I believe that it's best that we start with hadith 144.
Narrated Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abd Rabbihi radiallahu an, a man appeared to me while I was asleep and told me to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, meaning Allah is the most great. And he mentioned the adhan with Allahu Akbar four times without tarji, and the iqama once except qad qamati salat, meaning the prayer stood ready to begin. He repeated it twice. He, Abdullah, said, when it was morning, I went to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, it is a true vision. Ahmed added to the end of the Bau Hadith the story of Bilal's statement in the Fajr Adhan, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, meaning prayer is better than sleep.
Okay, this hadith we have a chunk of information and issues that we should deal with, so I'd appreciate it that, inshallah, that we try our best to focus, concentrate, and if you have any question, there's no problem in asking. And if I have the answers, I'll answer it. If I don't, I'll simply say half of the knowledge, which is, I do not know. Now, adhan is a form of notification. It notifies people that it's time to perform prayer. And it is certain statements, certain sentences that are said in a particular sequence whenever the time for prayer is due. And the ruling on it, it is called fard kifaya. It's obligatory, it's mandatory, providing some of the Muslims do it, then the others will not be required to do it, because then you don't expect every single person in the city to go and perform adhan. It's only a handful of people that perform adhan, and this is enough. This suffice for the others not to do it. But if there were to be a village or a city and none of them perform adhan, then all the Muslims in that village or city will be sinful because they have abandoned an obligatory form of worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, before going to the hadith of Abdullah bin Zayd, scholars have different opinions. I'd like to share these opinions with you in regard of which is better, the position of the muadhin, a person who calls for the adhan, or the position of imam, the person that leads the prayer. So, Mustafa, what do you think?
Well, I don't know an exact.
Yeah, well, hadith, this is not a fatwa or a verdict. I'm just asking you for an opinion. What's your gut feeling?
I always thought that the muezzin, the person who makes the adhan, was better than the imam.
Why?
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith that people who make adhan have long necks on.
Yes, they have long necks on the day of judgment, and this is true. But I'm afraid that we have to explain what we mean by long necks, because some people say maybe a giraffe has a longer neck, so that would qualify to be a muadhin. No, this in Arabic, it means that on the day of judgment, the people that call for the adhan are put forward and they are more honorable than anybody else. But let's see other people's, let them share their opinions with us. Fadi.
I think also the muadhin, because the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, we should struggle or battle for the adhan and not to lead the prayer.
Well, it's not struggle or battle, because this is a form of worship. But the Prophet said, ﷺ, that if you knew the reward in it, you would probably make a qur'ah, you know, draw straws to know which one to do it. You know, it's like lottery or something like of this sort. Flip a coin to know, to decide. I want to do it. No, you want to do it. He wants to do it. Let's flip a coin. That decides who does it from us. Abu Malik, you had something to say?
Yes. I'm sure that the muezzin, he's one, you know, he's better than the imam, because the imam, he gets, you know, he gets good deeds for the people that came and pray only.
Okay.
And Prophet ﷺ in a hadith, he said that everybody that hears the muezzin witnesses that he gave the adhan on Judgment Day.
That's true.
So that's, you know,
anyone else? Any other? Okay, then what would you guys say if I say to you that the Prophet ﷺ never ever called the adhan in his life? Neither did Abu Bakr, nor Umar, nor Uthman, nor Ali. And if it was a better position, then they should have done it. So what do you have to say to this, Fadi?
For instance, they wanted other people to benefit more than them.
It's true, but they wouldn't leave something that was best and allow people to take it from them, Abu Malik.
Well, first of all, it depends on what everybody's capable to do. And everybody else, you know, everybody has a different position in the Muslim Ummah. Like Bilal had a strong voice, powerful voice. Maybe the Prophet, you know, didn't have as, you know, as high.
So well, your first statement was more correct than the other one. Because the Prophet ﷺ had a good voice, had a nicer and better voice, and it would have reached everybody. But the first statement is a correct answer, which is that though the muadhin, which I agree with you all, the muadhin's role is better than the imam, because, as Abu Malik pointed out, anyone that hears the adhan and comes to the mosque, he will have a portion of his reward. So whoever calls people to good things, you share with them whatever good deeds they do. For example, if I teach you how to pray, whenever you pray, it's credited to me. It goes into my account. So you take your own deeds for your prayer, but because I instructed you, I taught you, I get this reward. Which means that the prophets get the highest reward of all, because all their followers give them credit to whatever they learned from them. So the muadhin, whoever comes and answers his call and prays in the mosque, whoever hears his adhan and repeats after him, he will get the reward, although he's not doing anything else. So it's far greater role than any other role. But the reason that the Prophet ﷺ did not call for the salah, call for prayer, did not assume the role of muadhin, because he already had the role of imam. He had to lead the prayer. And it wouldn't be acceptable for him to spend all his time in the mosque making call for call the call of salah, prayer, and not to free his time for his family or for those who ask him, because he had the role of a teacher, a leader, imam, and so on. So scholars say that the caliph, the four caliph, and before them the Prophet ﷺ, had more important business to attend than to call for the adhan. Though they all agree that the adhan role is very important and essential one. And this is the choice of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi. He said that the only thing that prevented them from calling the adhan was that they had more important things to look after. Now, once we know the importance of adhan, it is very strange to find Muslims being ashamed or embarrassed of calling the adhan. And I think you know this. You know, there are a lot of time when we are out in the open or we enter a mosque and the imam or the muadzin are absent for one reason or the other, and it's time for salah, we ask the people to go and call for the adhan. You find lots of them not willing to do the adhan. And when you ask them, some of them say, I don't know the words. You don't know the words? These are, any Muslim has to know them by heart. Others say, I'm ashamed. Or, I'm shy. I'm not ashamed. He's honored to call for the adhan, but he is shy of doing it. And why is that? Because it has to do with religion. But if you ask them to come on a talk show or to sing a song or to audit for idol star or superstar or whatever, you would find them jumping immediately to contribute. And this is something that one should try to review it. You have to call for the adhan, because you will gain so much reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's a matter of you coming forward, not people asking you. And as we've mentioned a while ago, if it was to the people, they would have fought and tried to flip a coin to decide which one to call for the adhan rather than someone else taking it. Now, the adhan is, in Islam, as a notification for what? For any form of prayer? Or for a particular set of prayers? Noor?
For obligatory prayer.
Only for the five obligatory prayer. So we don't call for adhan when, example, if we are in festivals, Eid. We don't call for the adhan in funerals, prayer. Only for the five obligatory prayer. And, yes sir?
What about adhan before we bury somebody dead? Sometimes we see this.
The common, it's not adhan.
Not
adhan? What, can you give me an example? Before burying a person or in, yes, the mosque?
No. If you see the burial,
mm-hmm,
we listen some words like adhan.
No, it's not adhan. This is also one of the innovations. We have hundreds and thousands of innovative things. When they're carrying the dead person, they say wahidu, which means say la ilaha illallah. This is innovation. And even the word wahidu, meaning that say he's one. So why do you do this? Because you want people to say la ilaha illallah, and this is innovative. This is not accepted. Also, when they put them in the grave, and I'm afraid that we have to pause, not to bury people, but for a short break, so we'll be right back, inshallah.
Back to the Prophet. Join Sheikh Amar in the program Back to the Prophet, wherein he teaches us practical lessons from the Prophet's life and how this can help us to overcome our challenges in the present.
We talk about the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, seeking guidance for ourselves. In the early days after the revelation of the Holy Quran, the Muslims were greatly persecuted, so much so that quite a few Muslims had to leave Arabia and migrate to Africa to live among Ahl Kitab, Christian people who follow the gospel of Christ.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Coming back to you, Noor, just before the break, you were saying that people call the adhan when they are doing the burial. And this is not authentic, it's an innovation. And remember, some scholars say that the prayer for funeral itself has no adhan. And they justify this by saying that when a person is born, the sunnah that you go to the baby and make adhan in his right ear. This is a 5 or 10 minutes old baby. The sunnah is you make adhan in his right ear so that the first thing he would hear is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that there is no God but Allah worthy of being worshipped, and he has no partners, and that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is his messenger. Now, by saying this, if you have a newborn baby, don't go and say, Allahu Akbar, and shout his ear off. The sunnah is to repeat the adhan by whispering. The boy is a couple of minutes old. You get these horns and loudspeakers. No. You just say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in a very nice and soft sound, so that the first thing he hears is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, the adhan. And that is why when this boy grows up and becomes an adult and a father, a grandfather, and he dies, when we pray the funeral prayer, we do not make adhan, because we have already made adhan at the very beginning. This is one of the things that the scholars say, but it has no evidence. So we cannot say that we don't do this because of that. No, the sunnah is to make adhan when a child is born, and the sunnah is not to make adhan when we bury children. Now, there are thousands of things that are innovated and they are not in accordance to Islam regarding burials, regarding dying people, and how we wash them, how we carry them, how we bury them. But this is not the appropriate time to go into this. Any question, or should I move on? Okay, going back to our subject, Hadith Abdullah bin Zayd. Now, adhan is a form of worship, which means that it has to be done by a person who is eligible to do it. This means that if I bring a non-Muslim and I ask him to call for the salat, for prayer, to make the adhan, would this be acceptable, Fadi?
No.
No, why?
Because he has to be a Muslim.
He has to be a Muslim. If I get a cassette, a cassette player, and I turn it on and put it through the loudspeakers, would this be acceptable, Abu Malik?
No, not.
It would not be acceptable, because he's not a particular individual. He is not present. It's a form of worship, so he has to be present. Why do I say this? Because I know that in some countries, they're trying to make it as form of legislation that all the mosques will be connected with one muadhin. And they say, why hire one and pay money? Let's get a cassette player and just put it on, and that's it. This is not permissible. It's a form of worship. It has to be performed by a Muslim adult who knows what he is doing. Likewise, I had a couple of questions from brothers in Indonesia and in India. They have this great love to come to Mecca and pray and perform Umrah, but they don't have the ability, they cannot afford it. So they're asking me, during the month of Ramadan, they can see the Imam performing prayer, and they join Taraweeh prayer through their TV screens. And they say it's a voluntary prayer, so we can't go there, so the least we could do is be with them through the satellite channels. And I don't know what they do during commercials, but let's assume that they are praying the full Taraweeh behind the Imam. Is this acceptable? The answer is no. because you have to be in the same area. This is a form of worship. You cannot pray through mobile phones. If you're on an island and then you just put on the speaker and say, okay, start prayer, and we pray behind a mobile phone or behind an internet. And these are all unacceptable. You have to be in the same location, the same masjid, the same area, for you to be able to join the congregation and so on. Going back to the hadith, it talks about a dream. Is that right, Mustafa?
Yes.
It talks right. About the dream. And what do we have to do with dreams? The reason behind this hadith was that the companions, when they were in Medina, before the Adhan, they didn't know how to call people to the Adhan, to the prayer. So some of them said, okay, let's take bells and toll these bells like the Christians have in their churches. It's nice, ding dong, sound, everybody could hear this. Others said, no, let's use the horn, which was used by the Jews at the time. And they had a dispute among them, and everyone was saying, let's do this, let's do that. And they didn't come to a conclusion. So they went home. Abdullah bin Zayd was one of them. So he slept, and he saw a dream. And in this dream, he was about to buy a bell from a Christian. And he met a man, and this man asked him, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to buy this bell to call for prayer. So the man told him, don't. I'll teach you something that is better than this. And he taught him the Adhan. And there are different versions, whether it is 15 sentences or more. And we will come to that, inshallah, later on. Now, in the hadith, we are told that it is not permissible to use the bell. Is that correct, Fadi?
Yeah, I guess so, because we're supposed to not copy
or imitate the Christians. But there is a hadith, specific hadith, that states that the Prophet ﷺ says that the angels will not accompany any people traveling if they have a bell with them. Now, it's not any bell. So your doorbell is not like the bell in your mobile. It's not like the bell in your phone. It's not like any other bell. The bell that it is forbidden for us to use is the same bell that is used in churches. This is forbidden for us to use. And if you have a butler in your house and you call the butler with this bell, then you should change the bell and take something electronic that would be better, because using this bell is forbidden. The angels do not come in the presence of this bell, and the angels call Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness for you. So taking the bells is not acceptable in Islam. Now, going back to dreams, is it possible that we take our verdicts and Islamic issues from dreams?
No.
Fadi, a person... Okay, in Islam, don't we have any weight? Don't we give any weight to dreams in Islam, Fadi?
I think it's only ijtihad. It's
ijtihad, doing effort. Mustafa?
I think in this hadith, we would take consideration the dream, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually told him that this dream...
Okay, this is at the time of the Prophet. What about if it's in our recent times?
No.
It has no significance, none whatsoever.
Not in making new forms of worship or introducing any things in religion.
Okay. Abu Malik, you have anything to add?
I agree with Brother Mustafa on that.
Okay, this is true. Religion is complete. Islam is complete. So there is no room to add or take out anything from it. Which means that if you go to bed and you see the Prophet ﷺ in your dream, and he tells you that, Mustafa, you have been a good Muslim, and I believe that from now on, you may not pray Fajr. It's okay, you're exempted from praying Fajr prayer. So you wake up, say, Alhamdulillah, I've got it made. The Prophet gave me 20% discount. I have only 4 prayers to pray. No, this is unacceptable. But I saw the Prophet. Even if you have seen the Prophet, this doesn't mean that you can do it. You have to refrain from believing the dreams. But it is a good sign to see a good dream. For example, if you see someone that has been doing a lot of good in his life, and you see him in your dreams, in gardens of you know, nice gardens and rivers and water and nice setting, then you give him the good tiding that I've seen you, and inshallah you are in Jannah, which is a good tiding. Now, what about this dream? This dream is a different one, because the Prophet ﷺ approved it, and also another companion of the Prophet ﷺ has seen it, and that is Umar ibn al-Khattab. So now you have two that have seen the same dream. You have the Prophet ﷺ approving it. This means that it has a form of authentication, and that is it. The Prophet has approved it ﷺ. Now, coming back to dreams, people are engaging themselves in dreams to a large extent. They're obsessed with dreams. So you always find people calling in, oh, Sheikh, I've seen so-and-so. So what do you want me to do? So explain it for me. And I have lots of callers calling regarding dreams. And the easiest answer that I know of would be, don't eat a lot before you go to bed. Because then you're going to see a lot of weird things. You know? And the Prophet told us that if you see bad things, spit 3 times on your left. Say, I seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and do not tell anyone about it. Why? It will not harm you. But if you see a good dream, what should I do, Fadi? Spit on my right?
No, just tell the ones that are close to you, the ones you love.
That's the one. If you see something that you like, yes, Mustafa?
How would you spit? Like, would you actually like spit?
Well, the spitting itself is not, you know, getting it full in your mouth and bang. Especially if your wife is on your left, then you should change your place. No, spitting is just blowing air. This manner, nothing comes out. And if things were to come out with just, you know, some moist, but it's not the actual spitting or dipping, you know, or tobacco dipping. No, this is not the thing. If you see something that you like, you tell those who you love, because they will interpret it in a nice manner instead of reversing it to you. And as I said, we don't have to rely on dreams, because we have the facts. We have the Quran, we have the Sunnah. It tells us exactly what we are supposed to do. Our hadith here was conveyed to the Prophet ﷺ, and he explained it. And I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. Inshallah, we'll go through this hadith again next time we meet. Fi imanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.